This is a production of Cornell University.
From Cornell University's world-renowned turfgrass program, I'm Frank Rust.
And I'm Carl Scamenti. This is episode 22 of Turf Talk, brought to you in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. Turf Talk provides just-in-time, science-based recommendations for professional turfgrass managers in the Northeast U.S. So, Frank, we always start with the weather. Obviously, there's a lot of activity in the southern U.S. With Hurricane Florence approaching. Why don't we start with some of the weather up here, and then maybe we'll touch on that as well.
Well, I think, Carl, across the Northeast, we got a little bit of a reprieve. Last week, we had some nights in the 40s. Boy, especially this far north, I know down south it at least got into the upper 50s, low 60s. That probably felt good to much of the turf down there. So lots of good news there. The bad news is the steam is coming back. We are going to have some steamy conditions moving forward. The result of some of the cooling and, of course, the amount of moisture in the system means the soils are cooling a little bit. I was measuring temperatures in the metropolitan New York area in the mid-60s this week, Carl. So, you know, that bodes well for at least something good happening down there. But, of course, the bad is, especially for those along the southern part of the region, that looks like a lot more rainfall is on its way. And, yes, we'll be very mindful of our friends and family in the Carolinas and up into the southern part of the Delmarva. And now predictions are it's going to move inland a little bit. Hopefully dissipate, but when you're talking about 40 inches of rainfall, Carl, that gets everybody's attention. But up here in the Northeast, we do have a lot of moisture in the system, and that's setting up for lots of issues.
Yeah, so obviously the pest issue is something we discuss every week. We can see some of those pest issues, particularly the diseases, summer patch, dollar spot, but also maybe there's some that we're expecting that are getting kind of masked by this moisture, right?
That's right. Actually, that last point, we'll start there. It's the easiest one. You know, when you have these kinds of good growing conditions that we'll talk about in a minute, you know, the grub population that probably is already underway in wet areas, Victoria Wallace on our conference call, the extension specialist at the University of Connecticut, talks about how it's pretty dry in some in areas in her neck of the woods along the coast. But short of that place, everybody else has probably got grubs developing in their turf and no one's noticing because even if they're feeding, the turf is doing so well. So that's the easy one to put aside and a good measure of sort of active growth helping the turf deal with the pest. On the other end, Carl, is fine turf issues where I saw this week continued persistent damage from annual bluegrass weevil. And oddly enough, a lot of activity of annual bluegrass weevil, get ready for it, eating bent grass. Actively eating bent grass. I visited a couple of places where they were actively eating the bent grass. Is it late second generation, early third, late third, early fourth? With all the heat in the system, all the abiotic stress in the system, maybe an increase in population due to the heat and the warmth, widespread food, survival for the insect, leading to more feeding, more stressed turf where you don't normally find it. And you're starting to see a lot of annual bluegrass weevil damage persist. Very unusual to have that kind of damage occurring this late in the year. The next thing is summer patch, Carl. Talking to Rich Buckley on our weekly conference call, Rich is talking about even guys with good summer patch control programs are now starting to see some breakthrough. The persistent stress, either from abundant moisture or the high temperatures, is causing the stress to break through. And then finally, with all the moisture, you got plenty of foliar work with dollar spot, fall dollar spot problems getting worse, and brown patch. The humidity and high temperatures is leading to increased brown patch risk. So I feel like we're talking about the middle of July, Carl, but we're actually towards late summer. In 2 weeks, it's going to be fall. So lots to think about moving forward from the pest perspective.
Right, and again, a lot of this moisture is driving all of those pest issues. When we talk about keys to success, it's going to be moisture and water management again, right?
Well, for absolutely, positively. I feel like we've been a broken record this year. You know, water management was the key when it was dry, and then water management when we started to get the rainfall of trying to find ways to get the water out of the system. And that lack of movement of the water in the system, Carl, is the issue. The increased humidity and high temperatures that we're getting now is just making for no place for the water to go, right? I mean, the sun beats down and starts to evaporate the water that's been dropping now for the last 2 months. And it just creates a fair amount of humidity that, you know, stalls water in the system, and more water keeps coming. Now, what does that mean? It means if you got poor surface drainage, you're screwed at the get-go. What I've seen to be the biggest problem are the people with high levels of surface organic matter. Now, a lot of those people continue to use wetting agents, and many of them report they feel like their wetting agents are making it worse. Now, I don't know if that's the case or not, but I can tell you, you don't have a lot of use for wetting agent when you've got enormous amounts of water in the system. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I've seen some fairy rings starting to pop up. A lot of guys with organic matter issues start to see fairy ring, and they'll go hydrophobic even in the face of a fair amount of moisture. I've seen wet wilt, where it got very hot after 2 inches of rainfall and the water couldn't move through the system, but the plant was still wilting. And if you added more water, you added more heat stress. So let me tell you, Carl, it is about the most complicated moisture situation I think I've seen in a long time. In fact, as a measure of that, I did speak with a longtime superintendent, somebody who's been growing grass for the better part of 40 years, much of it in the same location. And he said this might have been the toughest year growing grass he can remember. So I think there's a lot of testament out there. What we're talking about, these anomalies, these extreme conditions, is very consistent what we've seen throughout the growing season.
Yeah, and so you're mentioning how we're also getting a lot of growth from the grass. It feels kind of like that spring growth surge. For this week's Sage Advice, you're going to talk about something that usually we talk about in the spring, right?
That's right, Carl. I think everybody's just sick and tired of mowing. Mm-hmm. I mean, you literally have to mow any turf that's older or gets any kind of fertilization that has a lot of organic matter in the soil. I don't believe you can. You have to probably mow twice a week. And the only time we ever recommend mowing twice a week is in the springtime, typically, when you get those enormous growth surges. Now, I'm going to throw it back to you a little bit, Carl. You've got conditions that really sort of violate some of these growth potential rules. And I think what we're learning is how much moisture and mineralization of nitrogen is driving these conditions. So my sage advice is to mow right for the week. Pay attention. Don't scalp the turf. Don't let the clipping sit there. Keep up on following the 1/3 rule. But Carl, you obviously have seen a fair amount of information coming from our clipping collection stuff that we've talked about before. Why don't we remind everybody about what you're seeing with regard to moisture and growth in late summer now?
Yeah, I mean, just the amount of moisture in the system, as we talked about, the mineralization, the soil microbial community can mineralize that in and makes it readily available to the plant. And as long as there is sufficient enough heat in the system that they're active, it really drives growth, and we've seen basically a 3 to 4 day lag between heavy rainfall and spikes in growth, sometimes almost 4 times as much growth as the couple days before. So, you know, regardless of the season, if you have the temperature and you have that moisture, you're going to get a lot of an explosion of growth.
And just as a final thought for the high-end guys using their growth regulators, if you're using a growing degree day model, which, of course, if you're using PGRs and you're not using a growing degree day model, you're using them incorrectly. Mm-hmm. So I mean, I don't know how many times we tell people to use products correctly and they think, okay, on a fungicide, it's the rate and the interval, but on a PGR, it's growing degree days. Now, it might be different based on where you're at, but you have to be applying based on your growing degree days. Much of what you're talking about, Carl, is turf under some regulation.
That's correct.
And I've talked to a lot of guys this year who have told me they simply can't keep the turf regulated following the growing degree day model. And I think that's the overwhelming effect that the mineralization of nitrogen as a result of the adequate moisture and plentiful temperatures, warm temperatures, is even overcoming growth regulation. interesting sage advice for the week, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, as always, Frank, thanks for the sage advice. We look forward to it again next week. As always, thanks to all our listeners for listening to our 2018 Turf Talk podcast series, brought to you just in time by Cornell University in partnership with our friends at Winfield United. You can find us online at turf.cals.cornell.edu and on Twitter and Facebook at Cornell Turf. As always, we'd love your feedback and encourage you to join the conversation by leaving a review or comment. For Turf Talk, I'm Carl Scamenti.
And I'm Frank Rossi. Have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.